Thank you for reading for us today, Esther, and thank you to all of you for joining in this communal experience of sharing spiritual nourishment together today. I love being able to see your faces up close and in direct communication. When we sit together in church, some of you look at the back of my head, but I get to see your faces today. That's lovely and beautiful. We come together as a community and we do together today what we can each of us do each day in our own homes. We share in the experience communally and strengthen our practices of at home following Jesus. Our psalm reading today expresses, a lot of feelings. The feelings of a community being aloof. Aloof has a feeling of separation, and we are physically separate. But I look at your faces, and I see we are spiritually together. We are experiencing all sorts of feelings right now. And in the midst of that, we can stand together or sit together to wait and see the glory of our God who is here with us in the midst of every circumstance, who feels our suffering with us, who longs to offer us comfort and succor in the midst of it all. So today is the fifth Sunday of Lent. We are coming so close to the end of our Lenten journey. We're almost to that great moment of celebrating the new life that the divine have prepared for us through Lent. And in preparation for Lent this year, the life-giving spirit opened the opportunity for me to live inside a retreat in daily life that had those of us who were following the retreat praying with scripture texts of Jesus being in the upper room. So those experiences over the last 5 weeks really inform my reflection today. So I'm looking particularly at kids' faces. Do you know what an upper room is? An upper room is just another name for a dining room. If you were in a Roman-style house, that would have been normal when Jesus was a human walking around in the dust and the dirt of the world. They called their dining room a cenaculum. It was usually on the second floor of the house, and you could only get there by going upstairs on the outside of the building. And many of the stories that we have of Jesus place him in a story while he's sharing a meal with people around him. So it's likely in an upper room that we meet an unnamed woman who washes Jesus' feet and anoints them with perfume in an extravagant act of love for Jesus. I can only imagine that her extravagance comes out of gratitude for the healing that Jesus had already brought to her life. It was also in an upper room that we saw the friends of Jesus gathering after his death. They were terrified and afraid because their world had been turned upside down. So they hid in an upper room and they locked the doors. Now, all through scripture to that point, when someone supernatural arrived on the scene, they would say, "Do not be afraid." I think we hear it 365 times in scripture. But Jesus says something new. He says, "Peace I give you." Jesus gives the followers of Jesus a new language, a new story to tell when he arrives in that room, even though the doors are locked. It will also be in an upper room, a dining room, where we will see Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the followers of Jesus gathered to share nourishment when the life-giving spirit burst in upon them to be like wind and fire, to give them energy for the work ahead. But today, Today we have a story of Jesus gathering with his dearly loved companions. In John's retelling of this story, Jesus turns the love that he has experienced when he had his feet washed, he turns that around and pours it out on his companions. They were tired and footsore. There's uncertainty in the air. And Jesus' invitation to the action of caring for one another in really practical ways, of living so full of love that it's spilled out everywhere, that invitation is how Jesus says the world will know that Jesus' followers are around. So I wonder if, as you listen to this story today, can you imagine yourself there? There were unnamed followers in that room, women and men. I think children and teens were there too. We know some of the names of the people who were there, but I think there were unnamed people there as well. You might join the others in that room as they sit on the floor to share a meal, Roman style. If that's uncomfortable for you, you can imagine yourself on a chair or on your couch. Jesus already knows that Judas' betrayal is coming, but Jesus lovingly shares a meal with all the people who are in the room. Everyone, the betrayers, the traitors. Peter was there too. The ones who were going to choose community and the ones who chose isolation. Everyone gets to eat and drink. So imagine the reality of sharing a meal with Jesus. Imagine the reality of sharing a meal with a group of people, any group of people. So today you are sitting in your home and perhaps you can see your table from right where you are right now. Maybe you can't. Maybe it's around the corner, but I bet you can imagine it. This is not the scene in that famous painting that we all know where everyone sits on one side of the table. This is a scene where people are gathered around. It's the scene of a family meal, a meal with friends. There are going to be spills and messes. Maybe that doesn't happen at your house, but it happens in my house. It's me. It's usually me. There's hunger and nourishment. There's shared love and laughter. And in the middle of that normal human life meal, Jesus takes a loaf from the table and gives thanks to God and breaks it and passes it around and shares it for everyone to eat. It's like Jesus is saying, eat, eat. Sharing physical food together will nourish your bodies. Sharing spiritual food together will nourish your spirits. It's like Jesus is saying, I want you to be well fed. I want you to have the energy to walk through the hard stuff in life. Later, Jesus picks up the cup from the table. Now at our house, cups are usually filled with water. Sometimes it's sparkly, sometimes it's still, or it has milk in it. But it seems likely that Jesus' cup was filled with wine. Share this cup, Jesus says. Our relationship, our connection to one another is strong, and we will live together in relationship beyond mistakes, beyond violence, even beyond death. Nothing, nothing can separate you from my love for you. Can you hear Jesus say that to you today? Nothing can separate you from my love for you. Every time we eat or drink, we can remember that Jesus knew a God who was loving, who was present, who could be known as a healthy Abba Father, who could fill us with the life-giving Spirit, the image of a healthy mother. Every time we share physical food together and the gift of dialogue and spiritual nourishment together, we live out in our physical bodies the death and resurrection of Jesus, our brother, our Lord, our Master. So what are we supposed to do in these days when we're in separate houses and we can't share a meal? When we're in separate houses, joined in a great act of community care and compassionate retreat? I think the first thing we can do is every day we can take time in prayer to join Jesus, to join the Father and the Spirit for spiritual nourishment. We can listen every day for the extravagant love of our God who says, nothing can separate you from the love of the divine family. Not life, not death, not hunger or plenty, not coronavirus or anxiety or depression or uncertainty. Nothing, nothing, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And then nourished by our experiences of dinner and breakfast and tea and nighttime snack with Jesus, we'll be able to live with faith and relationship and peace in the midst of the challenges of the week ahead. I think the second thing that we can do is to every day treat our meal table like the sacred space that it really is. We can listen for the voice of the life-giving Spirit encouraging us to call someone, to share in dialogue, to be in touch, and to share spiritual nurture with one another. We could draw a picture, and for those of you who don't have cell phones, you could ask your parents to send it to a friend. For those of you who do have your own cell phones, please draw a picture and send me a copy. I'd love to see it. Take a photograph of what's stirring gratitude in you today. Listen for the invitation to nurture spiritual connection with one another, even as you've already nurtured your spiritual connection with God. Listen too for the invitation to feed the parts of yourself that perhaps betray you or that turn on you. They need to be brought into the light and the love of Jesus' presence as well. And I think the third thing we can do is we can every day treat our Zoom room or our other connecting points. Maybe for you it's a telephone. Maybe it's a conversation when you're out for a walk, but you stay, you know, the 2 meters away and say hello to someone as you walk by. Every prayer, every conversation, every text, every social media interaction, every generous expression of gratitude to God or to your grocery store worker has the possibility to contain the bread of nourishment and nurture, the joy and delight of refreshment. We are God's people everywhere we go and everywhere we stay. We share in this bread of life. We drink the life-giving water of Jesus' shared faith as a sign of our relationship with Jesus and with the community of the beloved. So with gratitude, through dialogue, we bless and make holy the actions of our everyday lives. And through them, we become the body and blood of the divine at work in the world. From our homes, from the hospital, from the walking path, in our cars. With gratitude, through dialogue, we bless and make holy the location of our everyday lives. Whether we are called to wait, to retreat, to speak, to listen, to be. This is what we have been trained for as disciples and followers of Jesus for our whole lives of faith. Come along with me. Let's have dinner with Jesus and be deeply nourished through our dialogue with God and with one another. And so we say, thanks be to God. Amen.